Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Time now for the Brian Barrett Show on EEI.
Great ball.
Oh, I don't know about you. I'm fired up, baby. This is from Cam Newton's social media account, his Instagram. Him throwing a pass to Julian Edelman. Edelman saying, oh, yeah, it very well could be like that. I was fired up when I saw that. And it's funny because I was just saying either last night or the day before, when are we going to see the Edelman-Cam Newton workout? And here we go this morning. I wake up and on Cam Newton's social media account, I see Cam Newton throwing a Julian Edelman. Let's go, baby. Oh, fired up. And by the way, you surprised at all that Edelman didn't have a shirt on? Not at all. Not at all that Edelman didn't have a shirt. He had the backwards hat. I mean, he was ready to go. So Edelman and Cam Newton worked out yesterday in Los Angeles. He's already worked out with Devin Asiasi out there. He worked out with Mohamed Sanu in L.A. He also worked out with Damaire Byrd in L.A. Now, before I get into what this all means, I wanted to touch on this. First of all, he's in Massachusetts. He landed at Logan tonight. But secondly, I'm just so excited for this Cam Newton thing because there's no middle ground. So either Cam Newton's going to come in here and Bill's going to look like a genius and it's going to be awesome and the Patriots are going to be having an unbelievable season and you're like, how the hell did everybody pass on Cam Newton and Belichick and McDaniels dropped this great offense for Cam Newton? Or the player is going to perform really poorly. He's going to look washed up and that's going to be fun. Because then everyone's going to say, what is Bill doing? Bill was crazy for signing Cam. So either way, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be incredible. Now, I'm on the side of I believe this is going to work out well for the Patriots. I love the signing from the beginning. This, as I've mentioned for months, when this whole situation presented itself, not when they signed Cam Newton, but when Brady decided to leave, the one guy that I pointed to that I said, hey, I'll take that quarterback was Cam Newton because of the fact none of these other guys elevate your ceiling. Andy Dalton doesn't make you better. Okay, Marcus Mariota is a backup now. He's backing up Derek Carr. Now, maybe he does what Tannehill did to him, but I didn't want any of these other guys that were not guys that have played at a really high level before. Cam Newton has, and there's hope that Cam Newton can get back to the 18 version of himself. So that's why I was in on Cam Newton, because when Bill goes and he signs Cam Newton, that is basically signaling to the fan base, not that Bill's signaling to the fan base, but it says to the fan base, hey, we're going for it. With Stidham, it was, all right, let's see what the kid has. Let's see if Stidham's any good. But now that Cam Newton's here, it's like, all right, let's go. I'm fired up. So either way, this is going to be awesome because it's going to be a massive failure or it's going to be a huge success. I don't think there's any middle ground with Cam Newton. If he's just, if he's just okay, it's still a failure because then you're not a contender and you basically made this season about Cam Newton. So it's either going to be an unbelievable signing or a terrible signing. And I get it, it's not a lot of money. But if Cam Newton doesn't work out, it's like, well, you wasted all this time when you could have been developing Stidham or seeing what Stidham is, and instead you wanted to try to make a shortcut for Cam Newton. So either way, it's either going to be really good or it's going to suck. Either way, it's going to be a great story for us. But anyway, so I wanted to mention this. I'm happy about the fact that Cam Newton and Edelman finally got together. They need to build up chemistry on the field, and obviously they're behind the eight ball with the fact that Cam signed so late. But under that video that you just heard, it says this, hashtag shine through the shade, which again, this is another one of Cam Newton. He's pissed. I don't know if you've heard this. Every time he posts a video, he's pissed. The Panthers left him for dead. You chose this over that. It's the same theme over and over again. But this one kind of surprised me. Hashtag not for likes, just for life, which that hashtag I don't quite comprehend. Isn't that part of why you post on Instagram for likes and people to see you? If it was just for life, then you wouldn't post it. But you did post it. So I don't, not for likes, just for life, yet you are posting it. So it kind of doesn't make sense. But anyway, I like to have Edelman and Newton working out together. And Edelman appears to be all in with Cam Newton. He worked out with him yesterday. And he, of course, photoshopped a picture of him and Cam Newton together after Newton signed with the Patriots. Remember, they had that photoshop picture. So obviously Edelman knows where his bread's buttered. He knows that Cam Newton is the quarterback and not Jarrett Stidham. The stupid idea that there's actually a competition and that Jarrett Stidham actually has a chance to win the job. We all know that's not true whatsoever. But you see here is a situation where Julian Edelman realizing, hey, this is the guy that can help me prove what I'm trying to prove. Remember, because Edelman's trying to prove that it wasn't all about Tom, when we all know a lot of it had to do with Tom. But anyway, remember in June, Mike Giardi tweeted out that a player told him that Edelman, quote, hates excuses. He hates to lose. He's already got the red ass about this season. People thinking we're no good and that he's just a product of Brady. That's what a player told Mike Giardi. So for Edelman, that was a great attitude to have. But if you were playing with a guy like Stidham, you may do your job and you may just not put up numbers because the quarterback is a fourth-round pick out of Auburn and nobody knows if he can play or not, right? So when Edelman hears the news that Cam's coming to town, his chance to prove it wasn't all about Tom, now it's actually real. He gets to play with a guy that's done it at a high level before. So I love the fact that Cam and those two guys are trying to get on the same page here. And I believe this is really important for Edelman because Cam doesn't have a track record of success with a player like Julian Edelman, right? The only smaller receiver that he's had success with in his NFL career is Steve Smith. But Steve Smith is totally different from the way that Edelman plays. Steve Smith is a guy that would get down the football field, right? In 2011 with Cam, 17 yards per reception. In 2012 with Cam, he's at 16 yards per reception. You look at Julian Edelman in his career, he's averaged 10.9 yards per reception. So Edelman, of course, is a guy that we all know gets open quickly. It's timing. It's precision with Edelman, right? And that really is not the type of guy that Cam has had success with in his NFL career. With Cam, it's, okay, let's let the play develop, and he's going to give a guy time like Greg Olsen, get down the seam. He's going to give a guy a chance in the seam. Or it's that bigger-bodied receiver like a Devin Funchess in the past where it's, hey, you're bigger, or Kelvin Benjamin, you're bigger, I'm going to throw the ball up, you get a chance to make a play. He's never played with a guy like Julian Edelman. And that chemistry, it's not going to be developed overnight. See, with Brady, he went from Troy Brown to Wes Welker to Julian Edelman. He always had that slot receiver, the smaller guy, and he took advantage of that. And when you look at it, Cam Newton has had gadget guys like Curtis Samuel that's not big, but he's never really had that smaller slot-type receiver. And with Edelman's ability to uncover so quickly, I'm wondering if Cam passing on the first open guy will aggravate Edelman. Like, I'm not so sure this Edelman-Cam Newton connection is going to be great. Edelman knew if I'm open right away when he was playing with Tom Brady, Tom's going to get me the ball. He had all those option routes, and he knew if he was open, well, number 12 was going to throw him the ball. And now, when you think about it with a guy like Cam Newton, you're not so sure that's going to be the case. Cam Newton is not like Drew Brees or Tom Brady. We all know this. He's not a guy where it's, okay, I'm just going to take what the defense gives me. That's what, obviously, that's part of what made Brady great all those years is he's going to take exactly what the defense gives you. If Edelman gets open quickly, boom, ball's out, give it to Edelman. With Cam Newton, that's not how his offense operates. Cam Newton is not a precision passer. In fact, you look at his numbers in terms of through the years, his completion percentage never been great, except 18 when he completed a career-high 67% of his passes. But he's around 60% for his career. Because Cam Newton's a big play type of guy, right? Cam Newton's the type of guy that pushes the ball down the football field. That's why when you look at some of the other guys, like, for example, N'Keal Harry, who goes 6'4", big-bodied receiver, he's going to have a chance to prove that he was worth a first-round pick with Cam Newton. He's got to prove that he was worth something after the season he had a year ago where he's basically a non-factor. And look, I understand he was injured at the beginning of the season and all that. But when he came back, he was essentially a non-factor. And I do acknowledge that I believe some of that had to do with the quarterback. Tom Brady realized when N'Keal Harry came back, he wasn't ready and he wasn't going to break him in because Brady knew he was going to be gone after the season. But N'Keal Harry clearly has to prove something this upcoming season. And Cam Newton is the perfect type of quarterback for N'Keal Harry because we've seen Cam Newton have success with those type of guys throughout his NFL career. When you're looking at guys like Kelvin Benjamin and Devin Funchess, who aren't great players. Devin Funchess is on, what, his third team now. But with Cam Newton, those guys had good seasons because Cam Newton says, hey, you're 6'4", you're 6'5", I'm going to throw the ball up to you. Get inside a defensive back, even on like a slant or something along those lines. I'm going to throw the ball to you, and you're going to be able to make a play against that smaller defensive back. See, that's not what Julian Edelman's used to. And clearly Julian Edelman can't do that because he's only, what, 5'10". Julian Edelman's used to, okay, I'm going to run around here and Tom Brady's going to throw me the football. So that relationship between Julian Edelman and Cam Newton is so imperative to this team's success. And there's no track record of Cam Newton playing with that type of player. Yeah, he's played with Steve Smith, and Steve Smith, a smaller guy, but he gets down the football field. That's not what Julian Edelman does. So I'm wondering how this kind of presents itself onto the football field. Because Edelman comes into the season and clearly he is by far the most established receiver on the team. Now, Mohamed Sanu had some nice years in Atlanta, but nothing like what Julian Edelman had last season with Tom Brady, right? So Julian Edelman goes from the number one receiver where he has 100% confidence in the quarterback where, hey, when I get open, the ball is coming to me. And remember, Edelman's in a position where he's coming off a Super Bowl MVP in 18, coming off an incredible season a year ago, and gutted it out. I know he had a lot of drops, but he gutted it out down the stretch of the season, playing through injuries. He goes from, I know exactly what I have to do on the football field, to, well, how's this relationship going to work with Cam Newton? So that's why I'm glad that these two got out there and they started working together. But I feel like Edelman is not going to have near the season that everybody expects him to have, because Cam Newton is not the perfect fit for Julian Edelman. Cam Newton is going to help a lot of other guys on this team. When I look at a guy like Sony Michel, he better take a step forward this year. Because my thing with Sony Michel is this. In 2018, Sony Michel's numbers were good, especially in the postseason. They were good because the offensive line and the fullback and James Devlin and the tight ends helped out as well. And Dwayne Allen and Rob Gronkowski, they basically elevated Sony Michel's numbers because they were creating these massive holes for Sony Michel. And now, when you look at a situation with Cam Newton has constantly and consistently made the running game better for other guys on the football field, right? For the running backs he played with in the past, they've put up really good numbers. Jonathan Stewart, D'Angelo Williams, McCaffrey, who was not great his rookie season, his next year he takes off. And now, of course, this year he blew up as well. But Mike Tolbert had a decent year with Cam Newton. In fact, from 14 to 18, three out of those four seasons, the Panthers were top five in terms of rushing yards per game. So I believe Cam Newton's going to have a big impact in terms of the running backs because they're going to have holes similar to the holes they had in 18 because Cam Newton's going to create so much pressure on the defense with him threatening the run himself. And that's going to help out and open up holes for Sony Michel. So he better take a step forward. As I mentioned, some of these other guys like Mohamed Sanu, 6'3", is a big guy, 215 pounds. Cam Newton's used to that type of player. And even if you look at some of the rookie tight ends, when you're thinking about Asiasi and you're thinking about Dalton Keene, well, look what Cam Newton did for Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen was like a pretty good player in Chicago, but nobody was like, oh, Greg Olsen's a stud, right? He was playing with Jay Cutler in Chicago. He was fine, but Martellus Bennett was ahead of him on the depth chart. Greg Olsen goes over to a team like the Carolina Panthers, and all of a sudden he blows up. He becomes one of the better tight ends in the NFL, and I'm not trying to take away things from Greg Olsen, but Cam Newton was willing to throw the ball to the tight end. That's one of the best balls he throws, that seam route. So these rookie tight ends, they could be in a good position playing with Asiasi, and or these rookie tight ends and Asiasi and Dalton Keene could be in a good position playing with Cam Newton because he's used to throwing to the tight ends. Even a guy like James White, he's not going to have a better year than he did with Tom Brady, but Cam Newton in his final season in Carolina, he realized, hey, I don't have to hit a home run on every play, and he would dump the ball off to McCaffrey to the point where McCaffrey in 18 with Cam Newton had over 100 receptions. So finally he realized, hey, we don't have to go for the deep ball every play. I can dump it off to this guy because he's really good. Well, he's got a similar type of player in James White. So the one guy that Cam Newton doesn't really have an example of a previous player in his career that he's played with is Julian Edelman. There's really not somebody that you can point to in Carolina and say, hey, you can project future success with Edelman and Cam Newton because of what Cam Newton did with this guy. You can do it with all the other guys on the roster, with N'Keal Harry, with some of the tight ends, with James White, with Sony Michel. You can do it with all those guys. But you can't do it with Julian Edelman because there's not that example. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. Let's check in with Mark in New Bedford. What's up, Mark?
What's up, Brian?
How are you?
Good, man. I want to talk about Edelman. I feel like the guy's a first down machine, no? 10-plus yards a catch?
I agree, Mark. I believe Edelman's a stud. But my whole thing about Edelman and Newton is I'm wondering how Newton's going to use Edelman because Edelman's so used to getting open quickly and the ball's right there. Brady throws it to him. Newton and Edelman don't have that type of timing. It's not the type of quarterback that Edelman's played with.
Yeah, I feel you on that. But, I mean, McCaffrey, I mean, what is he average? 13 yards a carry? I mean, 13 yards a catch coming out of the backfield. I think Cam's going to have that same success with James White, no?
I'm high on Cam Newton, Mark, and I believe James White is going to have a good season again. And we saw in Cam's final season in 18 there, or really his final season, because I can't really count last year. He played two games, but he was willing to dump it off to the running back. So I believe when you look at the guys on the team, there's an example for that, like James White. Okay, you can dump it off to the running back. He's never really had this type of slot receiver in Julian Edelman. And we know with Tom Brady, everything's precise, right? That's not the type of quarterback that Cam Newton is. So I just wonder how Edelman and Newton are going to build up chemistry and how that's actually going to look on the football field every Sunday.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. But I just think that Cam's going to be able to use these weapons a little bit more better than Brady did because I don't think Brady had his heart in it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point, Mark. Hey, I appreciate the phone call, man. Look, that's a fair point. When you look at Brady last year, he told Howard Stern before the season that this is essentially going to be, he knew that it was going to be his final year. And he didn't have, and look, you can put some of this on Bill too, because Bill underestimated how aggravated the player was going to be, right? So Brady wasn't going to put in that extra work with N'Keal Harry because he knew, what am I going to develop him for the next quarterback after me? It's just not worth my time. He's not contributing this year. What's the point, right? So it's not going to work out. But with Cam Newton, the other thing I would point to is Cam Newton needs these guys. So Tom Brady knew if he went into the open market, now he probably thought the market would be bigger, but Tom Brady knew I can get a contract from another place because I'm the greatest quarterback of all time. Cam Newton, I don't know if you heard this, but he's playing on a relatively cheap contract. He can make up to $7 million. So if Cam wants to get the next big contract, if he wants to get a big contract, whether it's with the Patriots, whether it's with another organization, well, you know what he's going to have to do is he's going to have to rely on these guys around him. So he needs guys like N'Keal Harry to step up. He needs guys like Mohamed Sanu to have a good year. He needs these guys to perform at a high level because it is actually imperative for him to get his next contract, to get these guys playing around him to actually perform at a high level because that makes him look better. So I believe Cam Newton is going to get more out of this team than Tom Brady did a year ago. And again, when you look at Tom Brady in 19, he wasn't great. We're talking about a 60% completion percentage, right? He wasn't great last year in terms of the numbers. Gardner Minshew had a higher quarterback rating than Tom Brady. Tom Brady had as many touchdown passes as did Daniel Jones. And I'm not telling you that Tom Brady was the reason for all the issues with the Patriots. Clearly, he wasn't. The offensive line was not great, and the receivers were not great. I understand all that. You also didn't have much of a running game, but it's not as if Cam Newton is replacing Tom Brady the GOAT. He's replacing the 2019 version of Tom Brady, and quite frankly, that version of Tom Brady was not particularly good. And with this team, the offensive line is obviously improved. The fact that you don't have Marshall Newhouse in there, that's an improvement in and of itself. You have David Andrews back into the equation. And as I mentioned with Cam Newton, he makes your rushing attack better. And no disrespect to Tom Brady, that's not something he could ever do in his career, and he certainly can't do it at this particular point in time. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Phil in Rhode Island. What's up, Phil?
Hey, what's going on? I think what they're going to do, I mean, at least at first, is I don't think they're going to take a ton of risks with Cam. Like you say, he likes to push the ball in the field, and you're not wrong. And that was in Carolina. I think at least at first they're going to use him a little bit conservatively, sort of, you know, what like an earlier version of Cam looks like, maybe early Russell Wilson, kind of what they're doing with Josh Allen right now. And you know, their offense usually, run the ball. Like, don't force the issue too much. And, you know, by week 10, the Patriots offense looks completely different every year anyway. Sure. So it'll definitely evolve by then. But I think at first, especially coming off an injury and like a shortened off season, I don't think they're going to ask him to do too much. I think people like White and Edelman actually might kind of excel in that kind of system. I don't know. I just wanted to float that out there, see what you think about that.
Yeah, fair, Phil. My one question would be this about Edelman. Is Cam Newton the type of quarterback that is accurate enough to take advantage of Julian Edelman's skill set? Because say what you want about Cam Newton in terms of, yeah, he brings a lot to the table running the football. I acknowledge all that. And he's had some really good seasons. And in 18, he completed 67% of his passes. But overall, he's never been the most accurate quarterback. And this isn't me diminishing Cam Newton. I like the move of Cam Newton. I'm just saying with Edelman in particular, I don't think that the way Cam Newton plays football is going to highlight some of what Julian Edelman does. In my mind, Julian Edelman is the one guy that really misses having Tom Brady, because those two guys had an incredible chemistry, obviously. He was the Super Bowl MVP, had a decade of success with Tom Brady. I believe Julian Edelman is the one player that gets hurt the most from Cam Newton not being part of the equation. I believe the offensive line is going to be better because the players are better, obviously, but I also believe they're going to like playing for Cam Newton because we know offensive linemen love to run block. I believe Mohamed Sanu is going to have a better season because Cam Newton has played with those type of guys, bigger-bodied receivers. Same thing with N'Keal Harry. But with Julian Edelman, like, if he was going to play with Drew Brees, I'd say, oh, yeah, he's going to have a really good year because Brees' game is similar to Brady's in the elements of it's based on precision, getting the ball out quick, right? Drew Brees does the same thing that Tom Brady does. But when I look at Cam Newton, that's not the way he plays. Cam Newton is buying time. He's waiting for the big play down the field, or he's getting out and he's scrambling. And I just feel like Cam Newton and Julian Edelman, it's not going to be the best on-field chemistry. See, I see a lot of these guys taking a step forward with Cam Newton, but I actually feel like Edelman's going to take a step back because I don't believe, and I know they just worked out, I mentioned it, they worked out, the Instagram post is up. I just don't believe that on-field chemistry is going to be there with Newton and with Julian Edelman. All right, a lot more to get into. If you want to hop on board, the number is 617-779-7937. Do you think that Cam Newton and Julian Edelman will actually work out together on the field, or do you agree with me that it could be a problem for the Patriots? We'll get you a trending in just a second here.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Right back to it. This is Brian Barrett on EEI.
All right, Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. I love Julian Edelman. I love the Cam Newton pickup. I was all in on the Cam Newton pickup. My whole thing, though, is I don't believe these two players' skill set mesh together well. 617-779-7937. You just look at the guys that have had 1,000-yard receiving seasons with Cam Newton. Steve Smith, he's not similar to Edelman at all. He actually gets down the field one of the years with Cam Newton, averaged north of 17 yards per reception. So you can say, oh yeah, they're both smaller receivers. Yeah, but Steve Smith's totally different type of receiver than Edelman. That is, that traditional slot receiver gets open really quickly. DJ Moore, he goes about 6 feet, but he will get down the field. The year with Cam Newton, over 1,000 yards, about 14 yards per reception. Edelman was at about 10 last year. Think about Greg Olsen. Obviously, not even the same position as Julian Edelman, but another bigger body type guy at the tight end position. A guy like Kelvin Benjamin had over 1,000 yards multiple times with Cam Newton, and he, of course, goes 6'5". So that's a bigger bodied receiver. You think about somebody like Christian McCaffrey, that's a running back out of the backfield, totally different from what Julian Edelman does. That would be the comparison rather to James White more so than anything else, although McCaffrey's a three-down back, James White. He can be if you're passing the ball all the time, but obviously McCaffrey is significantly better runner, and I would say McCaffrey, in my mind, he's the best running back in the NFL right now. But these are the type of players that have had success with Cam Newton. Another guy that had a good season with Cam Newton is Devin Funchess. 63 catches for 840 yards in his rookie season, or I should say in his second season. Bigger body type receiver. He's 6'4". So there really isn't a guy that you can point to in Cam Newton's past with the Carolina Panthers and say, all right, Edelman can be similar to what that guy did. With all these other players on the Patriots roster, I can do that with certain players. Can say, hey, that guy can be like what that guy was. But with Julian Edelman, I just don't have the comp, and I don't feel like it actually, these two guys in terms of their skill set, it doesn't work together. It almost reminds me of like, okay, in the NBA, you have two superstars, right? I shouldn't say superstars. You have two guys that you took really high in the draft in Philadelphia, in Simmons and in Joel Embiid. And when you look at Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, they don't really fit together on the court. They occupy the same space on the floor. It's never really worked. And I feel like with Edelman and with Cam Newton, I just don't feel like it's going to be this incredible connection, right? With Edelman, like that connection that him and Tom Brady built together, it took years for them to be on the same, and I know that Edelman had some great seasons early, but it took them a long time to build that up. And that precision, right? That's not what Cam Newton does. And this isn't an indictment on Newton. He's an incredible player, but that's not what he does. He isn't getting the ball out quick and getting it to the receiver like Tom Brady does. So I just feel like these two players, in terms of the offense, in my mind, is going to be significantly better than it was in 19. But I think one of the guys that statistically will take a step back is Julian Edelman. 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you till midnight. Let's get to Joe. He's in Rhode Island. Joe, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good.
I just wanted to talk about what the previous caller was getting on about with Cam Newton. And I think if the Pats are going to go about anything this season, they're going to throw the ball more than just running it. I mean, it's really a all-for-nothing season. They don't really have much to lose, so I don't see him just handing the ball off, seeing what their backs can do, considering the quality that we have back there.
Yeah, well, Joe, I would say this, though. If, to your point, it's an all-or-nothing season, you don't have a contract with Cam Newton after this year. In my mind, that would mean that you should be running the ball more with Cam Newton, because when Cam Newton is effective, he's running the football. He's averaged 5.1 yards per carry throughout his NFL career. So if I'm the Patriots, knowing that I don't have a long-term contract extension with Cam Newton, I would be pounding the football with Cam.
Yeah, no doubt. I just don't think he's that real same player anymore. I mean, he's been very injury-prone his whole career. As much as I'd like to see him do that, and I think Bill will incorporate that just because it's a one-year deal. So, again, nothing to lose. He's not going to be able to run the exact same he used to.
Yeah, we'll see, Joe. Hey, I appreciate the phone call. The way I look at it, squeeze as much juice out of Cam Newton as he possibly can. That's what I'd be doing. I would be taking some of the stuff from the Ravens playbook, and I'm sure that the Patriots have already looked at that. Not to say that he's going to run like almost 12 times per game that like Lamar Jackson did, but if you're not running Cam Newton at least 8 times a game, if you're the Patriots, you're doing it wrong. Because that's when he's been at his best. When he's been running the ball at least 8 times per game, that's when he's been having his best seasons, I should say. And really, there's like this misconception with Newton. When he actually has gotten injured, it's not on design runs. When Cam Newton has gotten injured, it's like last year against the Patriots when he was scrambling. And it's been when he was hit in the pocket. It's not when he's doing these design runs, because then he knows where the hit's coming from. He can dictate that and he can avoid those hits. It's never been with the design runs. It's more so scrambles. And when he got hit in the pocket, sometimes he hangs in the pocket too long, which is an issue for him. But the injuries have not come on design runs. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you to midnight. Let's go to Carl in Hyde Park. What's up, Carl?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good.
All right. So, Edelman, how can you say that Edelman is not comparable to Cam Newton? Because the way Cam Newton was playing in 2018, he was dishing the ball off really quick to McCaffrey, to whoever else the other receivers were. Edelman gets open quick. Again, 2018, Cam Newton was zooming it in, probably like, 3 seconds into saying hike.
Yeah, but Carl, that's different. The running backs open immediately. And I would compare that more to James.
But
what's that?
But you don't also think that they could play him in the backfield as well? Josh McDaniels is very smart.
Yeah, look, Carl, I mean, they could get interesting with that in terms of Julian Edelman. I mean, you could even see Julian Edelman getting the ball more in terms of the running game. I expect them to do that with N'Keal Harry as well, because one thing we learned about Harry last year is when he gets the ball in space, the few times we saw him on the football field, when he actually gets the ball in space, he was pretty electric when he was on the field. But when I look at Edelman in terms of the stuff that he's used to doing well, those precision, those timing routes with Tom Brady, I just don't feel like that's going to be the same type of chemistry with Cam Newton. I don't feel like Edelman's going to have the same type of season he did a year ago. And Cam Newton, and you alluded to the fact that his completion percentage in 18 was the best of his career. Those dump-offs are to the running back, though. That's more of a James White thing. He's never had the type of player like Edelman is, that he gets open and uncovers really rapidly. He's never really had that type of guy.
That's true. That's true. All right. Thank you, man.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call. His line's open if you want to grab it at 617-779-7937. And I'm not saying this as like an indictment on Cam. I've been the leader of the Cam Newton bandwagon since the day he signed. I think I've been the most excited person in this town when they signed Cam Newton. I love the idea of Cam Newton here. Okay, I think it's going to be an incredibly intriguing offense to watch. And let's face it, we were going to have a pretty boring football team with Jarrett Stidham at quarterback. And now you have Cam Newton, and if Cam Newton's right, well, all of a sudden the Patriots are back in it. And I'm not saying they're the Chiefs or the Ravens, but they're back in it. So I was all in with the Cam Newton thing, and I believe they're going to design a lot of run plays for him into the offense where they can pick up some easy yardage. Think about it, too. Your short yardage running back, you don't even need one. Remember last year when you're at the goal line, you couldn't punch it in with Sony Michel? Well, guess who's getting into the end zone this year? It's going to be Cam Newton. I'm just looking at one guy on the team. That's all I'm looking at. I'm looking at one guy on the team, and I'm saying with Julian Edelman, I don't see Julian Edelman having the type of output that he's used to having with Tom Brady, because I just don't feel like we've seen history of that with Cam Newton and that type of receiver in his past. He's had a lot of success in his NFL career. He's just never really had a player where we can look at Julian Edelman and say, yeah, remember when Cam Newton played with this guy? Yeah, they had that success. I don't see it. I don't see that in Cam Newton's past with a guy like Julian Edelman. So that's why I just look at the one guy, and that's why I'm happy that we're working out together in Los Angeles. I hope they can keep working out here, and now Cam has arrived in Massachusetts. But I just look at it from the perspective of, well, if one guy is going to take a step back of this offense from what he did a year ago, it could be Julian Edelman, because the offense really highlighted Julian Edelman's skill set, right? And it's not just Julian Edelman's skill set. Tom Brady took advantage of Josh McDaniels' offense getting the ball out quick. Well, with Cam Newton, if you're doing that, it's not going to be taking advantage of what Cam Newton does. Well, now, if Edelman's open right away, I'd love for Cam Newton just to throw him the football, but I just feel like the offense is going to be totally different, and one of the guys that's going to have to make the biggest adjustment to that is Edelman, because he's been in the offense for so long. For James White, it's not going to be that difficult. For N'Keal Harry, I mean, he was barely in the offense last year. It can't be too big of an adjustment for him. He's barely in it. Same thing with Mohamed Sanu. He played for, what, like three games? It's not a big, or more than three games, but you get the point. At a high level, he played one game at a high level. It's not a big adjustment for Mohamed Sanu, where Julian Edelman, he's been used to doing things one way for his entire NFL career, and now he's going to have to change to cater to the skill set of the quarterback, and I just don't feel like those skill sets mesh incredibly well. And that doesn't take away from what I think this Patriots offense is going to be in 2020, where I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be awesome to watch with the element of the quarterback running the football. I just don't believe that Edelman is going to be the Edelman that we've all been used to over the past couple of years. And it doesn't have anything to do with, oh, he's slowing down with age. I just feel like the on-field relationship is going to be nowhere near what he had with Tom Brady. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. I do want to get to one thing. Brad Stevens said something yesterday that I just can't agree with whatsoever. It's making no sense to me. We'll get to it next here on WEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Right back to what you want to hear. More of Brian Barrett on EEI.
Regard to Kemba getting back into it, you know, as far as, I think worrying is a strong word. I think there's a lot more to worry about in the world right now. And so when he gets back, we'll get him as acclimated as we can. I don't think it'll be as fluid in our first scrimmage or whatever the case may be as maybe it will be 3 weeks from now.
All right, so that's Brad Stevens. The Celtics, of course, playing an exhibition on Friday night. Kemba Walker is not going to play in that one. But you heard Brad Stevens say there's a lot more to worry about in the world. Look, I understand that the players are there and they have messages on the back of their jerseys. There's a lot going on with COVID-19. I understand there's a lot of bigger things going on in the world right now. But at the same time, we have to be able to, when the head coach is asked a question like this, like to not minimize the question about, well, you know, the fan base is concerned about the knee. It's a legitimate question for somebody in the media to ask, hey, are you worried about Kemba Walker's knee? And for Brad Stevens to say, there's a lot more things for us to worry about. Come on, man. We all know that. In fact, you could say that at any point in the history of this country, or for that matter, any country in the world. Obviously, there's a lot of things that are more important than sports, but come on. You're talking about a guy that's had 4 months to try to get back from a knee injury. And he's still not ready to go. You're in the Orlando bubble. Don't you think this is kind of an important question? Whether or not Kemba, whether or not you're worried about his knee? So to kind of pivot and say, well, there's a lot more things to be worried about in the world. Thanks, Brad. We all know that. No kidding, man. We understand that. Just tell us how the player's knee is. And that, to me, that's a crappy answer. That's a terrible answer in my mind from Brad Stevens. And the more and more I start to think about this with Kemba Walker, if this is going to be a situation where he's going to need some sort of procedure, and remember, he's missed time on 3 different occasions this year with this knee issue, and this is the same knee he's had operated on 3 times, if he actually is going to need a procedure after the season, I would say just shut him down and get it done now. Because I don't want to get back to next season and have that be a lost season for Kemba, right? Doesn't this feel kind of like Chris Sale? Whereas Sale, we were being told the arm was fine, and then right before the season last year, he has the surgery. So if this is going to be something that Kemba Walker needs to have operated on, I'd rather just do it sooner rather than later so he's ready for next year, because I have no faith whatsoever that this is not going to be a compromised player this year. 4 months to get this thing ready. What does that tell you? Rest and drainage and an injection, and none of it worked. Okay, so clearly something's going on with that knee. And for Brad Stevens to say there's more things to worry about in the world, thanks. Thanks, Brad. But how about the knee? Can we get an answer on the damn knee? You're getting ready for a postseason run. This is a team that a lot of the national media has jumped on to make a run at the NBA Finals. And you're going to tell us that, hey, there's more things in the world that we should worry about. I mean, you could do that for every answer. Every question you get, you could do that. Hey, Brad, what did you think of Jason Tatum in the fourth quarter? He's kind of struggled. He was only 1-for-8 in the fourth quarter. You guys lost game one of your series against the Raptors. What did you think of Tatum? Well, he didn't play great, but there's more things to worry about in the world. Like, is this going to be the new Brad Stevens thing? Hey, what'd you think of Jalen tonight? Well, he kind of struggled, but you know what? There's bigger things to worry about in the world. Thanks, Brad. By the way, just to get a Bruins thought in here real quick before I leave for the night. So Cam Neely had this to say about pasta today. Quote, "We had the date for when camp was starting and knew that some of the players may need to quarantine when they get here. You kind of hope they would get here a little earlier." Let me repeat that. You kind of hope that they would have got here a little earlier. But we didn't really have much say in that. And that was really up to the players. So obviously, with what's played out and transpired, you certainly would have hoped there are some different decisions made. But in the long run, I don't think it's really going to affect us once we get to Toronto. I think we'll be fine. So he does end it by saying, I think we'll be fine. But if that's not a shot of pasta, I don't know what is. I wish he would. Basically, he said it without saying he. I wish some players would have gotten here sooner. And we certainly would have hoped that there were some different decisions made. I mean, unbelievable. And here's the thing you start to question with pasta is there was the pictures that surfaced of him out in the North End. And remember last year, correct me if I'm wrong, but Pasta ended up injuring his thumb after, a sponsored dinner? Was it a sponsored dinner, Brian, and he fell?
It was just a team dinner, supposedly, yeah.
And it was late, right?
Yeah, it was getting into his transportation home.
Yeah, so...
We're getting out of it.
Yeah, and he really, when he came back in the playoffs, he wasn't the same guy. And now this year, Cam Neely saying, well, we would have liked the players back sooner. We didn't have a say in that, and we wish some different decisions were made. You start to question the professionalism at some point with Pasta. The guy's the best player on the team, at least the best finisher, okay? The best goal scorer on the team. He got snubbed in terms of not being one of the finalists for the Hart Trophy. But this is kind of concerning, no? That Pasta's not going to skate with the team until he gets to Toronto. Now, maybe, look, he's a young guy. He can get ready, whatever the case may be. But isn't this a little troublesome for the future with this guy? He's the best player on the team in terms of the future, right? He's supposed to be the next star of the Boston Bruins. He already is. And he had an issue last year after some sort of sponsored dinner or team dinner. And then Cam Neely essentially wanted him back in the country earlier. That's what he was saying. And he wishes some different decisions were made. Not a good look for Pasta. And this is, in my mind, this team's last best shot to win a Stanley Cup. I thought it was last year, and they shocked all of us with the way they responded after the Game 7 loss. Maybe not you, but I was shocked that they're the best team in the NHL this season. You need all hands on deck. And that means Pasta, your best goal scorer. You need this guy to be focused and dialed in. So I just hope he gets it together. Maybe once they get to Toronto and they're in like a bubble, so to speak, he'll be more focused. All right, thanks to Brian DeFelice for producing. I'll be back with you on Friday night after the Red Sox and the Orioles. Enjoy opening day on Friday. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe and be well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.